This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and the stories that lead today's show are Amazon to rule the world, Alexa, the artificial intelligence, Tesla autopilot saves lives, 12 million UFO files made public, 12 million, and we're going to talk about a drone gun. Yes, a drone gun. Plus all the news of the day. Hey, I want to welcome you to episode 1171 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, January 19th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider or just PayPal.me/GeekNews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. We want to give a very, very warm welcome to the new listeners of the show. We want to welcome you to the podcast. Got a great lineup for you tonight. Of course, we want to say aloha and to the Ohana, all of you that are longtime listeners that are part of the family here. Thanks for being on the show or listening to the show or watching the show or whatever way you're picking it up. Thanks for being here. Of course, we want to make sure everyone gets over to geeknewscentral.com and stays abreast of what's going on over there. I promise the CES videos are coming. We'll talk about that here in just a few moments. But hey, if you've got comments about today's show, you can reach me on Twitter at geeknews, or if you just want to email me, geeknews@gmail.com. You can join our Slack channel, the Geek News Central Ohana Slack channel, and chit-chat in there as well. Of course, you can follow on Google Plus and Facebook as well. Hey, if you want to join that Slack channel, all you got to do is send me an email, and I'll get you added, okay? GeekNews@gmail.com is a place to do that. You can watch this show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel. You can watch on the Apple TV and listen on the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play this show's name, latest episode. Of course, you can listen on Stitcher. You can watch or listen on Blueberry.com. Of course, we want to, always acknowledge our partner shows, No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, Health Tech Weekly with Mr. Jamie Davis, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, who's a new grandpa as of a few hours ago. We'll talk about that. Pro Gear Site by my GNC team. Lots of stuff going on there right now, especially because NAMM is on. So those of you that are, you guys are, wanting to catch up on what's going on in the video space, definitely want to go over and look at the Pro Gear site right now because of the information coming out of NAMM. So there's lots of stuff over there to pick out. So stay abreast of that. And of course, this show is sponsored by our good friends at GoDaddy.com and longtime sponsors here of the podcast. We've got lots of great deals continuing. I don't know if I told you on the last show. I think it did. December, we did great. January is shaping up to be, looks like, another awesome month. So, continued thank you for all your support of GoDaddy. And why am I seeing half a screen? That's weird. Let me make an adjustment here. Those of you that are watching the... that's totally bizarre. Let me go over here. What did it do? It's cutting off. that's completely crazy. Well, anyway, you guys, if you're watching, something is amiss because I'm pressing the button and it's not doing what it's supposed to. Well, we'll recycle that. But anyway, get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You're going to find all the deals that I have available there, whether it be a 30% off code, whether it be a dollar a month economy hosting, you name it, we've got it. And really, there's a huge swath of great deals. So definitely get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy and check that out. Yeah, I think I'm looking here at my TriCaster. And for those of you that are on the audio program, you don't care, but when I switch in the screen, I get like half a white bar. So something is not right. Let me Oh, it's across the whole thing. It's not just, wow, what's going on? So it, something is amiss. I probably need a reboot, but as long as the main channel's good, we'll stay with that tonight. So not too much video switching. That sucks. Yes, the technical difficulties, and it doesn't help. I took Monday off, and really what that boiled down to, folks, is all intentions to do a show on Monday, and the news cycle was just non-existent. I think I found like 8 or 9 articles to be able to bring to you, and I can just kind of threw in the towel on Monday. So apologies for no show on Monday, but should be back with every, you know, all the holidays gone here for a while. We should be back on a full news cycle, and of course tomorrow with the inauguration, we'll get past the political news and mayhem, hopefully, and Monday things will kind of calm down. But so everything will be back here in a normal cycle. Hey, want to give a word of congratulations to Don Bain, the Gadget Professor, for his grandchild. And this is the first boy in his family in 29 years. So that's incredible. So he's in a very ecstatic grandpapa. And mom, his daughter, and is doing fine. The baby's fine. That just happened a couple hours ago. So again, and you know, Don left CES early to rush home because his daughter was due. You know, here it is, you know, like 10 days later or something like that. So it's kind of funny. Also, I think, and he hasn't announced it yet, but Daniel J. Lewis over at the Audacity Podcast, I think his wife has given birth too, but for some, he's being awful secretive. I texted him on Slack a couple days ago. I said, anything new with you? He says, in due time. We'll watch for news on that. But again, congratulations, Don Bain, and I think to Daniel J. Lewis as well. So this week has been like midnight nights every night. It's been crazy. It's just like last year. About the time I got back from Vegas, frankly, all hell broke loose. And this year, I had a couple of days breather, and then it just like, and my schedule went from being like 1 or 2 meetings to full, absolutely full. And me having to push people into like next week. And so things are on the move. Big business week for us. Had a stats rollout that was challenging because we revamped our stats and went to a new database and a whole bunch of stuff. No data loss or anything, but data was behind and we were having this new information we're providing. And so there's a couple of days of mayhem on that. So it's been one of those weeks, and I'm kind of like, tomorrow's Friday, thank goodness. But, you know, the work never ends here. But, you know, and then last week on Thursday, I talked about it to you guys on the show. I had shipped out the memory stick with all the videos on it to Isaiah in Albuquerque. I had paid for Express delivery, so he should have got it Saturday, and nothing delivered on Saturday, nothing delivered on Sunday, nothing delivered on Monday, and finally Tuesday he got the memory stick. So we got jacked by the U.S. Postal Service. Now I took this receipt today, this $22.95 receipt, and I took it into the post office and I said, you didn't deliver on time, I want my money back. And they hemmed and they hawed and they hemmed and they hawed. And, well, sir, this never happens. I'm like, well, I don't care. You didn't deliver it on time. I want my cash. You know, it was the principal things. You couldn't go online. You had to go back to the post office. I don't know if you knew this or not. And so anyway, they're making a judgment. And I'm like, that will for sure get refunded. It's only $22.95. But the same thing, it's just the point of the thing. You're not going to deliver on time. Give me my cash back. So, you know, I've had horrible, horrible, horrible luck with two UPS, yes, the brown truck guys, and the folks at USPS. Now, the only people, and actually FedEx kind of jacked up a shipment for me as well, but I'm like, what is going on? You know, overnight means overnight. 2 day means 2 day. It doesn't mean 3, 4, 5 a week later. You know, it doesn't. I think these shipping companies, I think everyone's just overloaded. I don't think they can handle the volume of stuff that's going through their facilities. I think they're just, with Amazon and everything else that we're all doing lots of ordering from, I think they just, I think their system is tapped out. So we'll see. At least here in Hawaii, outbound and inbound, I've had trouble. So anyway, they're coming. Isaiah sent me he's working on some stuff. I think we're going to be pretty excited with the way the videos are going to look. As soon as he starts uploading, we'll turn loose the Geek News Central writing team, and we're just going to pump them out as fast as we can. So be advised that they're coming, and be subscribed to the special media feed on geeknewscentral.com. So already I've chit-chatted way too long. And I want to thank everyone out here, everyone that's on Facebook. Thanks for joining tonight. Thanks for being here. And I tried tonight. You guys know that I've been trying the Metaluca power shots. And I was out of those. Or actually, my wife can't remember where she put them when she bought the last 4 or 5. And what they are is they're just caffeine bombs. They're perfect for me for the show, and they're just a little deal. I quit drinking Red Bull a couple years ago. So in the house, I had another kind of energy drink tonight, and I stuck a can of it in the freezer. I'm reading on it to make sure it didn't have the same stuff that, you know, the Red Bull on it. And it's by another multi-marketing company, and I put one in and tried it. And it's the first one I've ever drank from them, and no sugar. In this basically energy drink, and I don't know, I'll let you know, but I'm still kind of hooked on the Melaleuca power shots. I think those are about the best so far, and of course I crash after the show, but it's so late when we start the show, I need something to keep me going. All right, so anyway, thanks for being here. Thanks for letting me dork around a little bit. Let's get started into the podcast. So I want to talk. First things first, I don't know how I missed this. I was everywhere at CES, but apparently there was a Amazon pavilion of some sort. And they had a house and like a checkout counter and a sample grocery store. I mean, it was like, how come I missed this at the show? And I really was like flabbergasted that I didn't get into this building, but I saw this video on CNET. And it really hit home some of the stuff that you're going to see from other vendors that I saw at CES. It's like you stand on a mat with your bare feet and a laser measures your foot. And it gets an exact, you know, I've got real narrow feet. So for me, shopping for shoes is an absolute nightmare. And, so this will basically tell you which shoe is perfect for you, because they've got the shoes inside graphically molded and they've got that all mapped, so they know which shoe's going to match. So they're going to be able to give you recommendations at Amazon, and it will basically tie into all the shoe manufacturers, and then they'll be able to upsell to you in outgoing years. So if, you know, once you're a grown adult, your foot's done, right? It's really not growing. It's the same size. And if some of you have a hard time shopping for shoes like I do, you're going to, if you find something that works, you're going to keep reordering. So this is one thing that they showed off. I saw another demonstration, and this was an Amazon demonstration where they did this body image deal. And same type of deal. They can sell to you because they know your exact size, your fit, the whole nine yards, your body shape. And unless you get real fat or get real skinny, you won't have to get rescanned. But it just goes on to talking about Amazon's ability to have a brick-and-mortar concept. And everything that I'm reading so far on what people saw at CES was the vendors are spooked because they're using technology faster than what mainstream brick and mortar stores are being able to do. You know, I went into, I need two jackets and, because I'm going to go to PodFest in Florida and we're not going to wear polo shirts no more. And, you know, so we're going to look more business-like, right? So it's business casual. I needed two business casual, jackets. So I went into, Macy's and they just didn't have nothing. It was like caca. It was horrible. I went to, Men's Warehouse. We have a Men's Warehouse here and, not a lot of selections on the rack, but I kind of found one jacket I liked and another jacket I kind of so-so liked. And they were, one was, you buy one, get the second one free. You guys know how that works. And of course the sales lady, she's trying to juggle the, you know, the $4.99 jacket, on the rack for you to pick versus the $2.99 ones. So, you know how that goes. So anyway, here's my point. I would have much rather have been in a system somewhere, having been scanned and being able to go online and say, I like that jacket. I know it's going to fit because I've been scanned. And for a guy, it makes perfect sense. So Amazon is getting into all this and they're going to have service robots that will track their customers. They're going to know, stuff that you like. They're going to be able to, in some instances, deliver something perfectly designed for you in the store within 30 minutes, like a knitted sweater, something to that effect. So it just went on and on, the stuff that they showed at this kiosk or this sample store at CES. And I'm telling you, they're being really smart, really, really, really smart. So this, you know, they've opened this store in Seattle and they're saying it's just a test case. But here they were at CES kind of demonstrating all this on what's coming. So I could see a time where you will go into a shop. Maybe let's say it's about the size of a, let's say just an Apple store, you know, nothing big. Not a big retail place. And you go in there and there's a place where you get your feet scanned, you get your body scanned, you go into a dressing room, you get naked, maybe just wear your underwear and the machine scans you. Maybe there's someone there taking some physical measurements and putting those in a machine. And once that's done, you know, you're in the system and you don't really have to go to brick and mortar anymore. Now, you may want to go to touch the fabric and all that stuff. But if Amazon has a smart return policy, you know, why go shopping beyond your computer screen if they've got all your stuff? And that's been my hesitancy all these years to buy clothes online or buy shoes is because I have to be there and put the stupid things on or wear it to make sure it looks right. And, you know, and let's be frank, those of you that have seen me, you know, I got a gut and, you know, if you get a jacket and you're kind of a fat guy and you put it on and, you know, if you don't have enough around the waist, it just looks wrong. The button stretches, right? You don't want that. But if you go a size too big, then you're drooping on the shoulders. Well, you know, you can have custom jackets made. They cost a lot more, but they take a lot longer. But if Amazon or any other company has my measurements and I know I'm going to need a jacket, a couple of sports jackets, they can make me a jacket perfect. They can perfectly fit for me in my body shape. And you know, I can be a fat guy and try to buy clothes and not have a problem. It'll be delivered and it'll be perfect. So they are really figuring this out. So I'm here to tell you, Amazon is going to rule the world when it comes to shopping. If they have such an opportunity here to kick the living crap out of local retailers' butts, it's, and if they have a local retail experience where you can go in, That'll help too, but they're just using the tech. They're going to be smart. Now, hey, Macy's and all these other stores, they're going to have to get busy. Now, I must admit, going to Men's Warehouse, I had a sales lady. She led me around. I told her what I needed. She knew which rack to go to. You know, I explained I didn't want something too heavy because, you know, I want them going to Florida. It's going to be spring, but still, I don't want to sweat. So all that customer experience works, but, you know, what's your biggest pain when you go to a shoe store? You go to a Nike shop and you walk in and there's 100 people in there and 3 people running shoes out and you're sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for shoes to come. You try on a couple of pairs, you send them back because the size isn't right. You know, they never size the same, but if they got the laser specs of these shoes, you can almost be guaranteed to get the perfect fit every time. You just got to pick your color then, right? And the style you want. Sometimes for me, it's fit over style. So it's smart what Amazon's doing. Now, not only that, I was talking to this with my team, Alexa, they got a huge, huge head start. You know, Angela went to the Amazon AWS conference or whatever it was, whatever they call it. It's basically where all the devs go to the cloud things. And he took a one-day event, was paid extra. I think he paid like $600 to do a one-day seminar on how to basically program to the Echo and the Dot and all that. And so he brought that knowledge back. And then I saw all this integrated stuff at CS to Alexa. And then now I'm reading that people are starting to, you know, program Alexa to get Meta, basically give Alexa some parameters, and it finds the latest news on, let's say, artificial intelligence or on podcasting, or you set it up and then it will query it for you and make it available. And the Alexa would actually read the titles and give a summary of the actual articles, and then he can cue that to go as a something that he flags that he wants to actually read on his browser. So this kind of stuff, you know, just imagine me, you know, you guys already know for this show, I scan about 500 news sites for news. Now, 90% of those sites don't give me hardly anything any of the time. And I get the majority of it from a small number of sites, but every once in a while, those sites will kick out something really cool, and I'll be able to pull it in for the show. So imagine if Alexa has the ability to cue me 100 articles that it thinks, based upon my Meta search information, will bring up the data that I need to do show prep. That's coming. This is the kind of stuff that we're going to be able to do as this artificial intelligence and cloud intelligence. You know, the box is stupid, right? It's the code behind it that does searches and puts it all together for you. It's coming. Google, they're definitely going to be in the run. We know that Cortana is going to be in the run as well. But right now, based upon everything I saw, you know, Amazon is like way, way, way ahead. So expect, and if you don't have an Alexa, if you don't have an Echo or a Dot, I would put that on your must-buy list this year. You know, even if you're older. And like I said, I have one in my bedroom. I have one in my living room. The one in my bedroom, you know, I use it a lot. When I'm in the room at night, I just put on some jazz or put on some classical music and get a little wind-down time and, you know, I tell it when to turn the music off and set the alarm and, you know, all this stuff. So it's cool. It's going to be bigger, and podcasting is going to be integrated heavily. There's going to be more adoption in the Amazon Echo or Dot or within Alexa. I like to call it the Alexa platform. So anyway, that's cool. 2 articles. I'll have those linked up in the show notes for you tonight. Sorry I couldn't show them. Something's going on with the second screen here. I think what's going to end up happening, be honest with you, my TriCaster's got some issues. It's been rebooting. You know, once it's up and running, it's fine, but it may need to go in and I may just have it serviced. You know, I kind of cringe doing that because that's probably going to be like $1,000 or $2,000 to have it worked on. I don't know. I'm scared, but I guess maybe it's time and maybe I'll have to run off the TriCaster Mini for a few weeks while we send it in, but it's gotten hokey and just keep an eye on it here. All right. Driver in the fatal Tesla Autopilot crash had 7 seconds to take action. Now you think about that. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004, 1,005, 1,006, 1,007. How many of you have been driving on a street and been given that much time to react to something that's happening in front of you? Usually, and the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration says usually the maximum that any of us have to react to something that requires us to swerve, brake, is about 3 seconds. We got 3 seconds to make it happen or we're going to get smashed. That's kind of the national average. From the detection of something's wrong to the time you apply the brake until the event is over is 3 seconds. That's the most. So this guy that got killed by basically driving underneath the autopilot drove underneath the tractor trailer and chopped the roof off, which the semi driver said that the driver was on his iPad watching Harry Potter. How he saw that, I don't know. But they called it 7 seconds. It was a period of extended distraction. And the report called distractions longer than 7 seconds to be uncommon, but potentially foreseeable in the future. The NHTSA has closed its investigation and they're not going to do any recall or anything with the Tesla crash. And here's why. This is going to blow you away. Let me find the quote here for you. Since the introduction of the autopilot in the Model S, based upon all the history of the vehicle and the wrecks and the crashes that have happened to that particular vehicle, crashes are down 40%. Since the introduction of autopilot and the braking system. That's, I mean, every time autopilot is activated, the system advises drivers to keep their hands on the wheel and be prepared to take over at any time. Regardless of the potential for distraction, the report has found that the crash rates for Tesla vehicles dropped 40% after autopilot was installed. Not used, installed. The report notes that the automatic emergency braking system, AEB, like those installed in the Tesla at the time of the crash, are not designed to avoid left turn across path. In other words, someone is turning across your path, collisions. Instead, the system is designed primarily to avoid rear-end collisions. The AEB in this generation of Tesla vehicles requires agreement between the camera and the radar system before initiating automatic braking. The NHTSA report concluded that the autopilot requires the continued full attention of the driver and that they should be prepared to take action to avoid crashes. And this individual had 7 seconds. Autopilot is an assistant system, is not meant nor is it capable of taking full control of driving functions over the driver. But because the rate of crashes have decreased 40%, then NHTSA has said, we're done. We're closing this. Now, that is incredible. If you really think about it. If you think about that number. And I don't know what the actual total number of incidents are with Tesla S's. You know, it's, you know, what is there, 1,500,000 Model S's on the road? I don't even know what the number is. So they have to have some big enough statistical grouping to be able to make that determination. And there's been many times, you know, here in Hawaii, the traffic is just, it's stop and go. And a lot of rear ends happen, a lot. And you just have to be on, you can't be looking at your phone. You can't be diddling with the radio. You know, if you're not using hands free and you're trying to initiate a call or something like that, you're going to smash somebody's bumper here. That's just the way it is. In the morning time, the traffic is just, and in the evenings too, it's gridlock. And it's caterpillar on the highway. So, I still look forward to having a vehicle that will just basically take me down the road and deal with that. But I've never had 7 seconds to react to a crash. You know, it's like, oh, boom. You know, that's the way it usually goes, right? So, if any of you've been in a wreck, you know, you've got seconds, microseconds, in my opinion, sometimes to react. So this guy just wasn't looking. He had his head down in his notebook or his tablet, and it cost him his life. You know, so, and he'd set this cruise control 74 miles per hour 2 minutes before that. So it wasn't like he'd been in cruise very long. All right, so enough on Tesla, but it's pretty amazing to me, and it just makes me go, what's my next car? Let's talk about this cache. The Central Intelligence Agency posted its CIA record search tool database online, making roughly 900. Now, first of all, UFOs don't exist, right? Right? They've never existed. Government says they don't exist. It's swamp gas. It's everything else, right? Well, the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, has made roughly 930,000 declassified, meaning there was 930,000 classified documents, over 12 million pages in all, widely accessible for the first time. Wow. Now, the document trove called CREST was already declassed and technically available to public, but only in person from specific computers in the National Archives in Maryland. Digitizing that big of a haul has been quite a process. In 2014, the CIA said it could take up to 6 years to get it all online. To help speed things up, journalist Michael Best launched a Kickstarter campaign to go to the National Archive CREST computers, print out each page of the database one by one, scan them, and digitally publish the archives that way. Wow. But anyway, this is all available. So it's UFOs, psychics, and spies, I guess, this information here. So there's a article on German Disappearing Ink. There's a recipe for it. UF photos and analysis. There's a report on the Berlin Tunnel Project. There's communications about detention interrogation. There's intelligence surveys. There's something called Project Stargate. It's about using psychic power and telepathy for military applications. Like, woohoo! Like, really, they did this. So, 12 million pages. That's just amazing. So we'll see what people find. My grandmother was interviewed by the folks from Project Blue Book in the 60s on the UFO she saw and took a picture of with a brownie. You guys know what a brownie is, right? If those of you that don't, you can Google Kodak brownie. excited, those of you that are into the UFO thing, find something for me, find something juicy. Oh, wait, Swiss police are using anti-drone guns at the World Economic Forum. I would almost imagine those are probably being used tomorrow at the inauguration as well. But basically, these anti-drone guns, is called the HP-47 Counter UAV Jammer. And it makes sure that no unmanned aerial vehicle gets too close to the venue. And they can basically block drones from up to 1,000 feet away from sending data, including video feeds. It can also disable the operator's remote access to UAVs, as well as trap the machines within an invisible fence. Once the drones are trapped, authorities could either capture them with a net or shoot them with a shotgun. Wow. So anyway, Drone flyer beware. Don't be flying in and around any national security events because you will. You will go to jail. Or your drone will be blown up to smithereens. All right, I want to talk about something. This will be a little sensitive to some of you. And it's a combination of things I've heard recently. I heard a couple things on a podcast that I listened to. You know, I listened to the Daily Source, not Daily Source Court, the No Agenda podcast. And I don't get to listen to every episode because they're like 3 hours long. And it's kind of addicting, and some shows are better than others. But I love Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak, what they do over there. And they were running some clips, and they run a lot of news clips, and they show the hypocrisy of the news organizations and stuff that's being talked about, and the memes and the talking points, and, you know, how we're all manipulated by the news. And I found this article today, and Gizmodo talks about, in the title of this is very inflammatory. It says, Trump is launching a war on science. These people are fighting back. And while I don't want to go into this article in depth, I think what we all should be aware of is that federal funding, and I'm sure we're going to get some, I'm going to get some negative feedback here, but federal funding and grants and stuff have for many years have largely been only given to scientists that kind of toe the climate line. And are not given to scientists that explore the whole piece. If you are a scientist and you say that yes, there's global warming going on, and that people have contributed a little bit to it instead of a lot to it, you're probably not going to get funding. So, what I think's going to happen, what they're worried about is all this funding going away for people in science and doing climate research and all that stuff. I would hope that it doesn't just like all go away, but I hope it's more equally distributed across to the full scientific community, except for this, you know, these batches of scientists that kind of toe. And again, I know this is a delicate subject for some people because you're like, you know, we're causing the earth, you know, all, and there's change. We can all see it. There's changes, right? But the question is how much impact do humans have, how much they don't. So there's basically this, there's a war going on right now where they're basically ready to battle the administration, not only for money, but making sure their money doesn't get taken away. My only hope is that the scientists that have been put in the penalty box, I hope that we can have a wide range discussion and look at everything that goes on. I'm not a climate change denier. I am. I'd like to see the full picture of everything. And I think this is maybe what will happen with this new administration. I don't know. Maybe it'll be complete war and no one will get any cash. Who knows? But anyway, we'll see what happens. But it's making, you know, I've heard it in a podcast, I've read it online, you know, so there's definitely a lot of concern about what's going on there. But what do you guys think? Geeknews@gmail.com. Love to hear your 2 cents worth. Of course, outgoing President Obama said his farewells, press releases, did some stuff on Facebook today. I guess the family's going to Palm Springs for a month, hanging out with some artist that makes the First Lady's, has made some of her dresses and stuff, and then they're coming back to hang out in Washington, D.C. while the two girls finish school, I guess. So we'll see what happens. Usually ex-presidents kind of go and like kind of hide out for a long time. I don't think that's going to be the case with President Obama. I think he's going to take a couple of months off, and then I think he's going to be right back in the middle of the fist fight. So we'll see what happens. A little more space news. There's a study that was done, and the academics went through and said, what would happen if there was a solar storm that caused a a blackout in the United States, and that could happen. You know, we've had a couple of close calls with some big ejections and stuff from the sun, and you know, there's almost been wars launched because of solar flares and so forth. Happened back in the 60s, and you know, we had a huge solar flare in March of 89, and some big ones in just last year. So they said that if we have a solar flare that causes a blackout, or solar storm that causes a blackout in the United States, it could cost the United States $42 billion a day. That's how much the economy could be hurt. Isn't that just an incredible number? And the power outages would just be the first of the trouble that would happen. You know, getting the power back online would be a big, you know, big effort. So always have a plan, folks, because you never know what Mother Nature's going to throw at us. All right, the United States government, U.S. Labor Department, has sued Oracle, alleging that the technology company systematically paid its white male employees more than other workers and unlawfully favored Asian applicants in its recruiting and hiring efforts. So we'll see what happens with this, but they're going after them. They've got a case. We will see where this leads. Also, how many of you have like Kindle Unlimited, or you have a Kindle, or you use your iPad with the Kindle app? That's what I do. But did you know there's a way to download your Amazon Kindle eBooks to your PC? Did you know that was possible? So if you have purchased books, you can download them to your PC and Mac. That is absolutely possible. You get there's an app, you get some credentials, and it just comes on your computer just like it would be on your PC. So if you like using your big screen, like to read there, that is an option. I didn't know that was possible, but it's a good way to back up your stuff too. So that's one way I was looking. And here's my problem. I basically subscribe to Kindle Unlimited. You can have 10 books at a time checked out. And my problem is I'm reading a lot of series, a lot of science fiction series. And I've gotten to the point where I'll finish a book, and then 6 months later, I'll be like, did the next book come out? And what was that author's name? I actually, now I've had to start writing list on a spreadsheet, because sure, you can get into their system and look at what you read in the past, but organizing it is not easy. So if any of you have found any type of an app or something that can organize what you have read from a series standpoint in the Kindle, man, sign me up, because I'm having to do it by hand. And sometimes I'm missing books and a series I wanted to continue, but it just doesn't organize like it would on a bookshelf. You know, you buy a book on a bookshelf, you look at it, well, I've got book number 7 I need to get next. And it digitally, you just can't keep them organized. I just use a spreadsheet at this point. That's the only way I can keep it straight. If someone's got a better idea, let me know. All right, you gamers out there, if you buy a copy of Resident Evil 7 on Xbox, you get the PC version for free. All right? And also, researchers in the science bio department have found a way to pair cells, listen to this, to smartphones. Yes, I heard you heard that right. They're doing something with redox molecules, and they can move them from your skin to the cell phone. It's like a little bit weird. And they say this breakthrough one day could lead to disease-curing devices in your pocket. It, you know, something that would cure me from getting sick at CES. Sign me up. Little gene splicing or some sort of you know, yeah, let's do it. But anyway, it's getting weird out there. You know, we've explored space. We've explored every nook and cranny of the physical Earth. I'm sure there's places still left untouched by man. But there's, you know, the ocean still has a lot to be explored. And there's been a new submersible that has went out to the Mariana Trench, specifically the Mariana back arc near the Mariana Trench, and basically have done some deep dives around the 14,000 depth and come up with some remarkable pictures and videos. And I'll have that link up in the show notes if you're into that. Pretty cool couple minute video. So I'll have that linked up for you to take a peek at. Also, science is even moving any further. Low-cost DNA sequencer was used in a Nokia 1020 camera as a microscope. So, you know, a startup figured out how to use the camera off her cell phone to do, basic DNA sequencing. You know, that's not a small thing to do, right? So, anyway, I just thought that was interesting from a, if those of you that are out there into the bio stuff. All right, Air TV. I missed this at CES. I have no idea who makes it, but apparently a lot of companies were smitten with it. Air TV is shipping to customers. Has anyone heard anything about this thing? It might be from Dish. That's the initial word I'm getting. But the Air TV unit at CES had integrated Sling and OTA guide, and also tie in with the regular TV. And basically, it's supposed to bring all your over-the-top stuff into one box. So I'm going to try to get more information about this and share it with you on a later show. But I just found this late today. I'm going to link the Engadget article that I found that they did the original write-up on from this. Oh, it is from Dish. And combines 4K streaming with an over-the-air antenna. Oh, it's even more interesting for you that are out there that are cord cutters. All right, so I'll have that link up for you to check out as well. Windows 10 networking bug has derailed Microsoft's internal plans to roll IPv6 at their Seattle campus. So they were trying to roll IPv6 campus-wide, and they found a bug in Windows 10. How are we supposed to use Windows 10 with IPv6 if Microsoft can't get it to work? That's the question. So the bug team there is diligently working on stuff. Now, one of the coolest things, and I think I told you about this last week, was the bioprinter that I saw at CES. And a lot of biotech's coming, and it's going to save a lot of us old guys. You know, I'm going to be able to order a heart, a kidney, you know, but 20 years from now, you know, you're just going to go donate blood. And then a couple months later, they say, okay, come on in and we got a transplant for you. That's going to happen. But until that time, people are coming up with very cool stuff. And there's folks have come up with, out of Harvard University and Boston Children's Hospital, have developed a robotic sleeve. Now, check this out. A robotic sleeve that goes over a cardiac arrest patient's heart. So, if you have suffered a cardiac arrest, obviously there's damage done to the heart, and you know, you may have to go on an assisted machine, all kinds of stuff. Or you're going to die while your heart recovers from this injury, right? And some people don't ever fully recover. But this robotic sleeve, they're saying, could open up new treatment options for people who have suffered cardiac arrest, keeping them alive before transplant or aid in cardiac rehab and recovery. The customizable device is designed to wrap around the heart, contracting and expanding in sync with its beating using air. And it's just it helps the heart do what it's supposed to do, gives a little assist. And I wish I could show you the pictures on the show tonight, but, you know, we got this video issue. But they've been using this on pigs as a test, and has been working remarkably. Now, you have to be by an air pump or an air supply. You know, you have some tubes coming out. It's like, you know, this is not something that you're going to just, like, live a normal life with. But they say it could be the piece that we need to do this, like this stepping. And it doesn't touch the blood or anything like this, so it's less impactful than some of the other stuff that has to be used with a ventricular assist device, a VAD. And the VAD pumps blood from the, and it basically touches the blood, and it can cause blood clots and all kinds of stuff. So people have to be on blood thinners. It, you know, it's not a, a perfect solution. But so for maybe if this gets FDA approval, it give people a chance to recover from a cardiac arrest. And, you know, and this is stepping stones here to get us to the point where we can just order up a new heart or kidney or, you know, pancreas. Pancreas stuff is exciting, you know, for type 1 diabetics or some, maybe someone that's, you know, maybe type 2, you need a little more insulin, who knows. But it's exciting stuff what's happening here in biotech, and just this technology is going to change it for all of us. It really, really is. All right, I'm not a gamer, but if you've heard about the Nintendo Switch, I've got an article that shows a picture of the new interface, the new menu system for it, or the menu system. It has really not been released by Nintendo. Some beta tester put something up on Twitter, and someone got a screen capture of it before it took it down. Maybe we'll have the link up for that if you're a gamer. Also, if you guys have been watching the stock market, you've known that you know, the little post-election bump and everything that's happened. But IBM did beat quarter four estimates. Quarterly revenue down 1.3%. The company reported net income of $4.5 billion or $4.73 a share, $4.73 a share. Revenue was down a little bit, 1.3% annually. But everyone's pretty happy with the results. At the same time, Netflix knocked it out of the park. Netflix, surprisingly strong subscriber growth. They put on 7.1 million new subscribers. They were only expected, as Wall Street estimates were only expecting 5.2. The stock went up nearly 8%, hit a record high of $143 on Thursday. So, you know, and I have to admit, I'm flipping back and forth between Amazon Prime and Netflix, and I'm finding a lot more stuff to watch on Netflix right now than I am on Amazon. And so they keep hitting it out of the ballpark with this original content. They're going to do good. So we'll see where this leads. But, you know, series like Stranger Things and The Crown have really helped Netflix have a great fourth quarter. So, you all know I drive vehicles till the wheels fall off. But when I saw the 2018 Mustang, I don't know if it's if I'm having a midlife crisis or what, but I saw this car and what a beautiful vehicle. It's got EcoBoost on a V4 with the V6 motor no longer being put in it. You got a V4, a V8. You've got a 10-speed automatic transmission or a 6-speed manual. And they actually say that acceleration is faster with the automatic versus the 6-speed manual. You're going to set you back some serious bang for the dollar. But it's got a look that I really, really, really like. And it's not very often I go car gaga. But if you haven't seen the 18 Mustang, look it up on the net, or I have a link up in the show notes. You can take a peek. All right. All right. New Mac malware discovered using antique code to spy on users. So some malware that was made in 2014 is making the rounds. Are you running malware and antivirus software on your Macs? Are you not? You need to. You're not exempt from this get infected thing anymore, okay? With Mac's popularity up, the amount of bugs, and if you'll never know, that could own you. So, you know, definitely get malware bites on your Mac. You know, get some antivirus software put on. But there are still people actively targeting Macs, and if you're not protected, it could own you. A little bit of Hawaii news. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg is trying to buy out land near his Hawaii estate, and it's getting a lot of news all over the country. But here in Hawaii, we've got this rule. Essentially, the way it works is if your family, let's say 100 years ago, owned a piece of land or was on a piece of land, and maybe you didn't buy it. Maybe it was just where your family was. Let's say it's an acre or a lot or something. And in the early days of Hawaiian culture, the land was owned by the monarch and the people lived on it. But essentially, there was a law put in place that if you if your family basically can basically show proof, they get a title to that lot. Or, you know, and so what happens though is that because it wasn't originally bought, there's not a primary owner. Then you have as the generations grow up and you get more siblings and the tree gets bigger, more people have a right to a percentage of the sale of land. And a lot of times people don't even know they're entitled to a percentage of a piece of land sale because they don't know that they're an owner or a part owner of that lot or the, you know, whatever the acreage is. So Zuck's trying to buy some more land. He's already bought 700 acres on Kauai. And he filed what's called a some court documents, try to determine who owns the lots that he wants to buy that's around his property. And some of them are actually like small lots within his big lot. So, you know, he's built this big, bought this big property, and 2 miles in is a small plot that he has to legally give people access to that own it, but he's trying to buy the little parcels up in between, and it's caused some hate and discontent. But what the problem is he goes to the primary person that owns it, says, okay, I'm going to give you whatever I'm going to give you. And that person says, okay, I got a deal. And then it turns out there's 80 other relatives that were supposed to get a piece of that. So this is, he's filed some stuff in court to try to figure out who owns what, who's entitled to basically be paid a percentage. He wants to pay for it, but it's a mess. And it's all over Hawaii. And it's basically from the transition from the monarchy to the United States annexation and everything else. I don't even try to fully understand it. You know, there's like 28,000 acres that King Kamehameha number 3 intended for property to be divided equally among the monarch, the royals, and the commoners who fished in this area. And this is all part of this problem. So anyway, if you've heard about the news, you know, Zuck's using his money, but at the same time, it appears he's trying to do the right thing. Now, I'm probably getting blasted by my Hawaiian friends. They're saying, you don't know what the hell you're talking about, so I'm not even going to try, but I gave you my explanation, okay? All right, I know people have mixed feelings about this. I was not happy with the commutation of sentence of Chelsea Manning. I'm really of the opinion that if you sign an agreement with the United States government saying that I will protect the secrets of the United States government, and I won't sell or release or do what you're not supposed to do, and he slash now she did, and he got 45 years or whatever, sentenced to 2045 or something like that, and you know, basically releasing classified documents. It was a pretty tough sentence. But he also released an incredible amount of classified material. So the commutation happened. There's nothing we can do about that. She's going to get out of jail in May, I guess. And, you know, still has a conviction, but, you know, basically will be out from behind bars. And so Julian Assange had previously made a pledge on the occasion that President Barack Obama grant clemency to Chelsea Manning, that he would basically come to the United States. But now Julian Assange wants to have a conversation with the Department of Justice on surrendering and whatever may follow. I think he's tired of living in the embassy. He hopes to have discussion with the Justice Department to work a deal on his situation. So we'll see what happens here. And but anyway, it's you know, I and also the president also did pardon a general too. So it wasn't just Chelsea Manning that a general also for his part in discussing classified information got a pardon as well. So you know, I had no sympathy for the general that did his deal either. But anyway, I know that people have mixed thoughts on this, but it is what it is. On the last show, I talked a little about Intel's bold plan to personalize live 3D sports broadcast, and the people at PC World have an article on it. I'll just link that up in the show notes for you to check it out. I think they've got a great idea. Disclaimer, I own Intel stock. I think their thought process and where they're implementing augmented reality and you being able to be at home, and let's say you're watching a soccer game and there's a corner kick, you could flip the view and you can be on a VR headset, or you can be on a phone and you can go right to that corner kick and get the, you know, like a 180 view, not necessarily 360, and be right there as the person kicks the, you know, does the corner kick. This stuff is going to be huge. This interactive stuff that they're going to have. I think Intel's really on to something. It just made sense to me that fast. All right, moms and dad, are you having trouble with your kids doing homework? They bring you the algebra problem and you're like, oh my God, help me, because you know, you run to the computer and you Google it, or you buy Algebrator, the software. That's what I did. And you looks at the example and you try to figure out, and then you run back to the kid and say, okay, this is how we do this problem. That's what we all do, right? A lot of us do, unless you're a math teacher. Well, there's a new app to the rescue. It's called Sock, Socratic, Socratic. You take a picture of the problem, and it tells you how to simplify the algebra problem. It explains the steps without necessarily giving them the answer. It explains how to do it, how to simplify, you know, and oh my goodness, sign me up. Sign me up. This app will be on my phone tomorrow. Now, it does more than math. And this is cool. It's called Socratic, Socratic, Socratic. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And it beats flipping to the back of the math book and finding the you know, the answer and cheating. This is much, much better. Much, much better. Awesome app. Okay, if you have a Pixel and you have audio issues, Google knows about it. They're working on a software fix, so be aware of that. One thing I found interesting today is that traditionally, the outgoing president sends Air Force One to pick up the incoming president, and then when the incoming president's getting sworn in, the outgoing president gets on Air Force One, which isn't going to be Air Force One anymore, and flies them to wherever they were going. Today, I don't know if it's because they flew into Jersey or if the airport in New York couldn't handle a 747, but they didn't send the big boy. They sent a smaller aircraft to pick up Trump. So I don't know if it was because of the, I don't know if anybody picked up on that. I saw a news flash. I'm like, that's not the 747. You know, they've got two. So I don't know if it was because they had to go into the airport with a smaller aircraft and the bigger one wouldn't fit at JFK. I don't know, but I just thought it was interesting. But anyway, the Obamas will be, the family will be going to Palm Springs on what will be no longer Air Force One, but they'll be taking them in style to Palm Springs tomorrow on the taxpayer's dime. So one last free ride. All right. Samsung will reveal the cause of the Galaxy Note 7 exploding battery this coming Sunday, which will actually be Monday in Korea. So be aware of that. There's going to be a press conference, and basically going to release the findings of what they found out. Uber's agreed to pay $20 million to settle a claim of driver deception in six different cities. So, 18 major cities where they would earn less than what Uber actually said. So, they've had to pony up $20 million for this. Also, Russia Today, and I didn't even know they were on Facebook. I guess I'm going to have to look this up, but Russia Today was banned from Facebook for a while. They streamed something they weren't supposed to. So Facebook blocked them, and some people said it was retaliation, and some folks were saying it's because of the inauguration and all this stuff. But so RT, if you see something from RT, that's Russia Today. And I'm just going to have to be honest. I'm going to look for their articles now, because I don't see them, or I don't think I've seen anything from them in my news stream, and it's something I want to avoid with everything that's happened here. There's an asteroid that's been named after Star Trek's Will Wheaton. So Will Wheaton has gotten an asteroid named after him, and it's a big one. No, it's not going to be close to Earth. It's going to steer clear, so we don't have to engage it and go out there and knock it down. Any of you eat Skittles? Imagine a semi-load of Skittles spilling on a highway. Well, it happened. And then it rained. So there's a section on the highway, I guess in California someplace. It's just red. So I thought this was kind of funny. But all right, last few articles tonight for you. Experts in Canada are sending, or experts are being sent, to study a mysterious Canadian ping. The Canadian Army has been dispatched to dispatch a pair of acoustic specialists to a region of the country that has been reportedly plagued by a mysterious sound for months. In the area of northern Canada, the citizens up there say they first noticed the sound during the summer, and since it began, wildlife has begun avoiding the area, much to the chagrin of hunters. Despite a myriad of theories, no one has been able to explain the sound, which has been alternately described as both a ping and a hum. Taking the matter seriously, the Canadian government attempted to solve the mystery in November using a surveillance plane tasked with gathering data, but the investigation proved fruitless. So now they're sending a different tactic. They're sending some folks out there in the ground in the winter. And, dun, 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 dun. What are they going to find? Is E.T. out there making noise? Dun, dun, dun. Okay, what else? Last article tonight. Cloud City appears over China City. People are freaking out. The city was there the whole time. Just the smog was so bad, the citizens had never seen the skyline before. So the top of the skyline kind of got clear, and the citizens were freaking out like, what's that? And it turns out it was just skyscrapers in the distance, but the pollution is so bad, the citizens had never seen it before. Can you imagine? Can you imagine living in an area and all of a sudden seeing buildings in the distance and like not knowing that they had were actually there? That's some pollution, folks. It really, really is. Okay. I'm going to wrap this show up. If you got comments tonight, geeknews@gmail.com. All of you that have been on Facebook with me, I appreciate it. Don, Rita, Michael, there was some more on there earlier. Ray, thanks for being on. I didn't get to all the comments. But I'm glad you love the side stories. That's what I like doing here. That's what makes the show different than most podcasts. But anyway, we'll be back to a regular battle routine here from here on out. I'm not going anywhere at this point until late February. So, it is exciting because in February, I get to go see my oldest daughter. And I haven't seen her for a couple of years, so I'm excited about spending a day with her before I go to PodFest. I'm going to do 2 days at Pod, a day with my daughter, 2 days at PodFest in Orlando. And then I'm going to be in, we're going to have our, Raw Voice is going to have their annual retreat in Orlando. If you're in striking distance, okay, February 23rd, I may have some time in the afternoon. And that's probably, or early morning, one of those days. If you want to do breakfast, the rest of the time is going to be pretty slam. Let me know. I'm staying at the, I'm staying in a villa at the Caribbean something resort, in Orlando. So, I'm there. I go into Tampa on the 22nd, stay with my daughter, drive to Orlando on the 23rd, and then I fly home on the 28th of February. So, anyway, that's what's going on. But far as I know, no other travel schedule unless something, you know, crazy pops up. But anyway, that's it. I'm gonna get out of here. I mean, thanks. Have a great, great weekend. I'll be on tomorrow morning with, or Saturday morning with Rob Greenlee doing the New Media Show. If you want to hang out with me at 9 a.m. Pacific at the newmediashow.com website or here on Facebook as well. So everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.